Welcome to MSK Radar Note.
Today we're covering the cruciate ligaments, the ACL and the PCL. MRI accuracy for the ACL is close to 100%, so an obvious tear is never the issue. The real test is the subtle tear and the ACL ganglion, two classic pitfalls, plus reading the postoperative ACL. The PCL follows completely different logic. It often doesn't rupture, it stretches and becomes structurally incompetent, almost elastic. So both how you describe it and how you read it have to adapt. And finally, the Cyclops lesion is the most common cause of pain after ACL reconstruction. So you need to recognize it. A normal ACL is straight and taut, with fibers running parallel to the roof of the intercondylar notch. Some striation is normal, and a little high signal at the tibial insertion is normal too. Read primarily off the T2 weighted sagittal, but check all three planes. An obvious tear is unmistakable, the mid-substance is blown out, and you can't find normal fibers. But the subtle tear is where the skill is. The fibers all look present, but their course goes flat, no longer parallel to the notch roof, and that change in angle is the key. The second move is to check the ACL origin on axial and coronal. Normally it's an oval, low signal structure hugging the lateral wall of the notch, so ask whether it's still firmly attached there. A third pattern is the partial tear. Some fibers intact, but with higher than normal signal. The knee still relatively stable, and the exam may not make the diagnosis. And that's exactly where MRI matters most. So, if the ACL fibers are present, but the course is wrong, the ACL ganglion is a classic pitfall. It's a cyst within the ACL of unknown cause. On sagittal, the ACL looks fat and rounded, like a drumstick, bulbous distally and thin proximally. And on coronal or axial, there's fluid signal within the ACL. The difference from a tear is that the normal fibers are still there, just thinned and splayed by mass effect. So the knee is stable on exam. The patient is usually asymptomatic or just feels some fullness and slightly limited flexion with no instability. The difference from a tumor is the fluid signal, the clear margins, and the typical location within the ACL. And management is completely different. A tear needs reconstruction, while a ganglion is usually just observed or aspirated, so don't lump them together. When you report an ACL ganglion, hit 4 points location within the ACL, fluid signal, normal fibers thin but present, and a clinically stable knee. Nail those four, and the clinician won't be misled. Reading the postoperative ACL has two key points. First, the graft should be taut, and within 18 months, some T2 high signal is normal, reflecting ligamentization. The graft being torn or absent is what means failure. Second, look at the tibial tunnel position. It should be parallel to the intercondylar notch roof. Too steep and too anterior, and the graft gets impinged by the femur. Too flat and the graft is loose and you get instability. Then there's the Cyclops lesion, the most common cause of post-op pain. Scar tissue forms a rounded, lobular mass in the Hoffa fat pad at the front of the graft. And clinically, the patient has progressive loss of extension. They can't fully straighten and it often needs resection. So when you see an anterior mass, don't jump to tumor. Think Cyclops first. An arthrofibrosis band is another one, a linear scar extending from the graft to the inferior pole of the patella, restricting patellar motion. The PCL works on completely different logic. It often isn't a frank disruption, but gets stretched into an incompetent, elastic ligament. If you see the PCL looking fat with gray intrasubstance signal on short TE, be on alert. Of course, a typical tear shows high signal disruption too. Most PCL tears aren't repaired, so the point isn't whether to flag it for surgery. It's whether there are associated ligament injuries affecting overall stability. Pitfalls. First, for a subtle ACL tear, look at the angle. Fibers being present doesn't mean it's okay. if the course isn't parallel to the notch roof, suspect a tear. Second, the ACL ganglion has that drumstick shape and a stable knee. Don't report it as a tear. Third, within 18 months, a post-op graft can have some T2 high signal, and that's normal. Don't write that the graft is injured and scare the patient. Fourth, the Cyclops lesion in the Hoffa fat pad with progressive extension loss clinically is the number one cause of post-op pain, so recognize it. Fifth, the PCL special behavior, it can stretch without disrupting. So if you see the PCL fat plus gray signal on short TE, report a PCL stretching injury, structurally incompetent. Don't write PCL intact just because you don't see discontinuity. And one last memory link. Whenever you see a bone contusion at the posterior lateral tibial plateau, go back and look hard at the ACL. That's the pivot shift pattern. And even if the ACL fibers look present, the angle has usually changed. 30-second summary. ACL MRI accuracy is close to 100%. So the point isn't whether you can diagnose a tear, it's whether you can diagnose the subtle tear in the ACL ganglion. For the first, look at the angle. For the second, look at stability and shape. For the post-op ACL, assess graft tautness, tunnel position, and whether there's a Cyclops lesion causing extension loss. And remember, some T2 high signal within 18 months is normal. The PCL is completely different logic. It often stretches rather than disrupts, so if you see it fat plus gray signal on short TE, report a stretching injury. Most PCL tears aren't repaired, but with associated ligament injuries, it's the overall stability that matters. Keep these few rules and your cruciate report will be enough to guide clinical decisions.
If this episode helped your learning, please subscribe and share it with your colleagues. You can also support the show on Ko-fi. See you next time.